Today, as we come to the table,
we are called to show and tell what God has shown and told us from His Word. And so He says, Aaron, this is what God has said to do, man. Watch this. Look at this, Aaron. Notice that Moses and Aaron went and gathered all the elders of the children of Israel. So they get all the leaders, the elders of the children together to tell them what God is doing. And Aaron spoke all the words. Note that. Remember, this was Aaron's job. God had said, you'll tell Aaron, Aaron will speak. So Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. And then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So first he did them in the sight of Aaron to show that God had truly anointed him and called him. Now he does the signs in the sight of the people so that they'll understand that God has called him. And again, now we see that, you know, the people see, hey, God's really with you.
Today, Moses is finally back with the Israelites. He's done what God has asked and has returned to the place God told him to go. He talks to his brother, and together they approach the nation with what the Lord has said. The plan is in motion. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark reminds you in his message today of the importance of following God's instructions. That's all you're really asked to do, if you think about it. You aren't meant to be the Savior. You just need to talk about Him. Jesus did the heavy lifting. He's the one who saved you, and God will be the one to save Israel. He just asked Moses and Aaron to be His hands and feet. With that, let's turn to Exodus chapter 4 and join Pastor Mark as he finishes up his message, God Establishes Moses.
Guys, before God called John the Baptist to His ministry, where did He take him for years? The wilderness. Start noticing when God begins to work in someone's life and He's going to do a work in their life, He will first take us to the wilderness. Why does God take us to the wilderness? Because what God is teaching us in those wilderness times is that, here's the bottom line, I want you to learn to be alone with Me. Get away. Seek Me in the Word by yourself. Seek Me in prayer by yourself so I can talk to you, so you can talk to Me, so we can learn to hear each other. I hear you fine, Mark, but you've got to learn to hear My voice. I remember somebody saying, you know, Mark, when you pray, just try to be quiet and wait on the Lord for a while. Do you know how hard that is for me to do? Lord, I'm being quiet right now, Lord. I'm being quiet and I'm listening for Your voice. Thank You, Lord. My ears are wide open, Lord. I'm trying my best right now, God, to hear Your voice. And I'm like, this will never work, God. You got to do something. And I would sit there and just force myself, just. And I kind of look around, you know, waiting, am I going to, you know. And it's not like God's going to go, all right, now listen up. It's not going to be like that. But it's learning to get quiet, and I can actually do that now. I can learn to get quiet for a moment before the Lord. That was very hard at the beginning for me. But guys, we need to learn, and more than even just the quiet, we need to learn to have that wilderness time. Get away into the wilderness. Moses had been having that time where God could speak to him. He could speak to God. John the Baptist had learned to have that time. Now Aaron needed to learn to have that time, because the bottom line is that if we're going to be able to work together in ministry, if we're going to be used in ministry, and then if we're going to work with other people in ministry, we have got to learn to be in the wilderness. One of the things that I ask our ministry teams to do is pray together. You know, pray together. Worship team, come together early and pray together. You know, so they do that early on Thursday. They come together and they pray before they have practice. Why? Because I want them to learn to hear the voice of God together, to be in tune with God together. There's a reason for it. Meet Me in the wilderness. Now, that's in a group. And so you get the example here. It's not just the wilderness that needs to be, obviously, but it needs to be in a group and it needs to be alone. But listen, if you don't have any wilderness time, and I'm not talking about empty, dry, there's other applications. Here's my application. If you don't have a wilderness time where you're getting alone to seek the Lord, God can never use you in any great way. You're limiting how God can use you. Why? Because you don't have any greatness in you in and of yourself. Only God's greatness can come through us. So as we spend time with God, He fills us up, He funnels through us, and then God's greatness comes out, God's power comes out. And God says, I need you, Aaron, to be in the wilderness because I need you to be in tune with Moses, who's already been in the wilderness. And so you need that time alone with God. That's huge. Now, I already mentioned this. I guess I didn't mention the fact that Zipporah is not seen with him. But I did mention the issue about Zipporah, and I guess this is a good a place as any to address this, notice that when they set out, Zipporah had been with him. Zipporah and the kids, when they remember when they got in the Nissan camel and headed down toward, you know, the Nissan burrow and headed down toward Egypt, the wife and the kids were in the back, you remember? And now all of a sudden we see Moses and Aaron meeting and there's no mention of Zipporah or the kids. Why? Well, it appears at this point Moses sent Zipporah and the kids back to her dad's house, the father-in-law, until he finished what he was going to do in Egypt, because no doubt the difficulty that he was having with Zipporah and their relationship at that time. Now, I'm not saying their marriage was bad. That's not my point. But he realized that Zipporah was not in the same place he was. And we don't see Zipporah again. Now, there could be an argument made, well, maybe he was worried about her safety. I don't believe that, because, again, God's the one that keeps them safe. God would have kept Zipporah safe. So this is no doubt a little bit of family issue going on here. And, guys, I'll bring up another point. Again, when you step out in ministry, the enemy's going to attack in your family. And although she no doubt loved God as well as Moses did, she most certainly had not yet been in the place with God that Moses was. And this is not unusual when a man is called into the ministry. And again, a lot of this stuff, you guys have to bear with me. I come from a pastor's viewpoint because I have been around pastors my whole life, you know, and I am a pastor myself. And so I kind of know what pastors go through. But God typically speaks to the man first and then the wife. But let me take this beyond the pastoral. It happens in your families as well. Ladies, God will speak to your husband most of the time before he speaks to you. And typically what I find is if God begins to speak really loud to Tracy about something, it's not that God hasn't already spoken to me, it's I'm too dull at the time to hear it. She's more in tune to the Spirit because of whatever the reason might be, maybe busyness, maybe whatever. And maybe I hadn't been in the Word and prayer like I should, but God will oftentimes, most often I believe, and I guess I can't say 100%, speak to the man first, but often until they both hear, there's a little bit of a struggle. And I understand this to a degree. And again, take this away from the pastoral. Let's get on personal. Let's get in the seats. And God's calling you to do something. Because, again, note this. Moses was the one who got the vision, not Zipporah. Moses is the one who heard the voice, not Zipporah. Can you imagine when Abraham came home, Sarah, God was talking to me today, you know? And with Abraham, when you go back and read that story, who knows what, you know, in her mind, who knows what God's going to tell Abraham today? And he comes home one day and says, hey, God spoke to me today. Really? What did he say to do? He said to take all of our children, the males, and everybody in our family and circumcise them. Everybody? Yeah. Not just the little ones, even the older ones. Yeah. Even you, Abraham? Yeah, even me. I'm in my 80s. Even me. Okay, so Moses is getting older hearing from God, is he? You know? I mean, Abraham's getting older and hearing from God, is he? Yes. I'm not saying Sarah didn't believe it. No doubt Sarah did. Sarah was a godly wife, and she knew that God was speaking to Abraham. But a lot of times God will say something to the man of the house as the leader, and oftentimes it's harder for the wife because it's a lot easier to believe God than your husband. It's kind of like, well, if I heard God say it, right, but at this point all I'm hearing is you, you know. The bottom line is, wives, and I say this now because it's where we are. I address the husbands when we're there. God will... Do you believe God has the ability to speak to your husband and then lead him in the direction he's supposed to go? And see, here's the hard part. If God leads your husband to go in a direction that you don't feel good about, are you willing to support him and say, you know what? I'm giving you my heart in that. I don't think this is right, but I'm not going to complain and I'm going to support you in it. If you go down, I'm going down with you. But if you say it's God, I stand by you. Now, that's easier said than done, but I'll tell you what. You see a wife like that, you see a wife who's mature. Because ladies, remember, it's not just the wives that have to learn to follow that leader. Do you think men don't do that? We have to follow the Lord. I'll tell you something else. You want to be free in this, wives? Guess who's going to give account for the family decisions on the day of judgment? Not the wife. You're not going to stand before God and God's going to say, now, why did you make this decision? God's going to ask the husband. And if the wife was making all the decisions, God's going to say to the husband, why did you not make decisions? Why was she the leader of the home? And then why did you do this? Why did you make that dumb decision? Well, Lord, you said I was the leader and I thought that was the best thing to do. Did you pray? Well, no. Why not? Did you get in the Word? Well, I was busy. You know, if there's a major family decision and I know that it falls on my head scripturally and I know that I've got to answer to God for it, guess what I'm going to be doing? In the Word and in prayer. Wives, if you knew your husband was being faithful to seek God with all his heart in the Word and prayer, how many of you could trust him? See how this works? I think the reason oftentimes our wives don't trust us, husbands, Because they don't see us in the wilderness with our Bible and in prayer. And they're going, I see Moses out there. I see Abraham out there. I see John the Baptist and Aaron out there. But man, you're watching football all the time. Football's okay. But when are you in the Word? When do you pray, honey? You're telling me God is saying, you think that we should do this as a family? And I haven't seen you do anything but, you know, watch the playoffs? Now, this is where, again, I'm not telling your wives to attack your husband and nag, all right? All the husbands are going, thanks a lot. Thanksgiving right around the corner, you know, and it's going to be turkey and football, and you're giving the speech. I'll be eating some turkey and watching football. That's not the issue. The issue is, guys, we have to be in the wilderness, in the Word, and in prayer, so that we can lead our families and we know we can hear from God. I've got to know I can hear from God. There are things our family right now, on a regular basis, I make decisions. Big decisions that we make together. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I make them, Tracy and I. No, we get together. We discuss the decisions. We pray. We talk about it. We put both of our input in. And I could say that almost 100% of the time we agree. So there's never really issues where some decision has to be made that we don't agree on. My memory, you know, I think I've lost more than I've gained at this point, forgotten more than I've learned, so maybe it's happened some. But here's what I do know. If I've got to make a major family decision, I'm going to be in the Word and prayer before I do it, because it scares me. It scares me. For a wife, you got to remember, guys, if God's leading you and you are hearing from God, sometimes there's a little delay there until God begins to speak to your wife's heart. And I think sometimes the opposite is true. If you have a wife that's seeking the Lord and the husband's not, then oftentimes she'll hear it first and the husband's like just missing it completely. The real test for you ladies is when your husband is missing it completely and you still follow him and support him. I can't put myself in your position, but that would be hard. That's where you've got to say, okay, God, you're in control of this. I'm going to trust you. You've got to lead him. Go over his head. Seek the Lord. God's more than able to turn the heart of the husband. Your job is to trust and to realize that the husband is accountable to the Lord and he's accountable to lead his family. And so Moses here, we see Zipporah not with him because things weren't working together at that point in the call of God. Later on, they'll settle down. But he's there with Aaron. So notice verse 28. So Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And so Moses again, now Moses gets together. Aaron, watch this, man. This is, you know, watch. This is really cool. And he begins to do these signs. And I'm sure if I was Aaron, that's all I'd have to see. He'd be like, whoa, God really has spoken to you. God really has called you. So first notice, he had to put in Aaron's heart the authority thing that God was backing Moses. Why? Who was the bigger brother? Aaron. Guys, listen. The Bible says it's hard enough to receive from your own family. The Bible says the prophet's received pretty much everywhere but his own home. Listen, people follow Jesus, hanging on his every word, God in human form, and his own brothers are going, pfft. Think about that for a minute. It's just Jesus, their brother. We grew up with him. I know he's perfect. Because they did. They knew him. They never saw him do anything wrong, but there was still this competition. Family is just hard to reach family when it comes to that. There's a difficulty in doing that. But understand this, being the younger, for Aaron to be 3 years older as he was and to always be the older brother, and now all of a sudden God sends the younger brother back and the younger brother says, God has sent me and called me to lead you and the others in that position of authority to lead the new church, Wilderness Chapel, and to bring them out of Egypt, and you're going to be my assistant. You know, it would be easy for Aaron to say, wait a minute, I'm going to lead them and you'll be my assistant, right? Watch this. You know, I'm not saying he did it that way, but boom. Now we see the rod, you know, all these signs that God did, the snake and all that kind of stuff. And this is also cool, too, because I believe we're called to do the same thing. That is, we are called to show and tell what God has shown and told us from his word. And so he says, Aaron, this is what God has said to do. Man, watch this. Look at this, Aaron. Notice that Moses and Aaron went and gathered all the elders of the children of Israel. So they get all the leaders, the elders of the children together to tell them what God is doing. And Aaron spoke all the words. Note that. Remember, this was Aaron's job. God had said, you'll tell Aaron, Aaron will speak. So Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. And then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So first he did them in the sight of Aaron to show that God had truly anointed him and called him. Now he does the signs in the sight of the people so that they'll understand that God has called him. And again, now we see that, you know, the people see, hey, God's really with you. God's with you. I see that. And I think that if we're called to lead God's people, we should be able to see that God is with them. I think we should be able to see that. Now, there's different levels of anointing, different levels of call, but we should still be able to see that God is with them. And they were able to see that God was with Moses. Now, I do want to make a point here because, again, normally God does not use signs, you know, and wonders to make people believe. As a matter of fact, signs and wonders rarely make people believe. But this was a special circumstance. This was a circumstance where the Jews were slaves to the most powerful nation on the planet. And for them to believe that they were somehow going to be able to overtake, you know, the Egyptians and break free from being a slave and now be free, I mean, you better show me something. I mean, what are we going to do? You know, rush at them with our straw and our hay and screaming, you know, and try to, you know, make scarecrows out of them or something. We don't have weapons. We don't have anything. And yet, when they see this, they say, you know what? Even though we have no resources and we have no ability to do this, we know definitely that God has called you because nobody could do these things if God wasn't with him. It reminds me of Jesus. You know, when Jesus came and they asked, you know, the man who was blind, they said, who did this, you know, and all that? He said, all I know is nobody could do this unless God was with him. You can say he's a sinner. You can say all you want about him, but nobody could do this unless God is with him. Now God establishes him with Aaron, establishes him with the people. And notice, so the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he looked on their affliction, they bowed their heads and they worshiped. I love this response. And guys, note this. Once they saw for sure that it was God and that he had come to set them free from their bondage, note this, their natural reaction was to bow and worship. And see, that's the same that's true for us. Our natural reaction when we see God doing amazing things is to bow and to worship. You know, true worship is not trying to work the people up in a frenzy. True worship is a natural response to recognizing that God is worthy to be worshiped. And guys, note this. This is something God was ministering to me on today. Whether you feel like it or not, is God always at work in your life? Absolutely. What does the Bible say? God will be faithful to complete what he has begun in you when? Until the day of Christ Jesus. That means until the day the Lord comes back or until you go with him, he's not stopping. He's not taking a break. He didn't take a vacation. He's working, although sometimes it doesn't feel like he's working. And sometimes you feel horrible and life is terrible, but God is working. He's doing a work through the horrible times, through the terrible times. God is working. But when you see God work, how many of you got, look, we all know that God works, but when you see God work, how many people, look, if you need some money to pay a bill that it's got to be paid. Or there's some other big event in your life that's got to happen. And all of a sudden, God just does a miracle. I had somebody sharing with me the other day. They were talking about the fact that they said this whole thing, they went through the whole, and people share this with me, the whole, I think the struggle for every new believer about giving, you know, it's like, I can't tithe. I don't have the money to tithe, and I can't give. And the person was going through that struggle, and they said, you know what? I just did it. I didn't even have the money to pay my bills and tithe. But I just did it. I saw miracle after miracle after miracle. My faith is now set and strong. And I'm like, that's how it works. Why? Because until you see the power of God, you can't rejoice in it. And that's what God does. Now, when we see God working in great ways, it just causes rejoicing to happen naturally. You know, we just recently have been working to help my parents sell their house. They moved into a smaller place, and we had to sell their house and sell their belongings and all that stuff. And just praying for God to bless it. I mean, you know, life's busy enough. You guys know that. And then when you come in and start helping to take care of your parents or family members, and then you got to sell belongings and sell a home and do all these different things. You talk about doubling up on your life, you get busy. And I remember saying, God, I just, you know, I don't, to add all this on top of it, at some point, just for a moment there, it felt overwhelming. How can I do all this? And we have certain deadlines and I've got regular life, my own family, the church, I've got now taking care of them. I've got all these other things of theirs I've got to take care of and all this stuff that's happening. And I just began to pray and say, God, you got to help me do this. And guys, I've just seen God do amazing things. And I didn't have in my heart until tonight in the worship to share some of it with you because it's just stuff that I wanted to give you an example of how you naturally rejoice. You know, we had a garage sale for him a while back. And I mean, typically you have garage sales and, you know, you make a few a few hundred dollars, you're happy. The first garage sale, we made something like $2,000. We did one this past weekend. And still at this point now, we're up to about 2,400 and it may end as high as 3,000. We've got 2,400 now. I feel for sure we'll have it. The point is, you go, wow, how is God doing that? And now get this. We knew we had to get their house in shape and get the house fixed up. So we had some people do some things, painting, some repairs, whatever. We put it on the market without a realtor on Saturday. It sold yesterday. Wow. Now, listen, do you think I had to go, you know, I think maybe I might go praise a little bit. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll set up a time. And I'm going to thank you for that, Lord. You know what I did? Yes! you are good. The burden is lifted. You took care of all of it so I can stay focused, and you're just doing it, and I love you, and I thank you, and I praise you, and I'm singing, and all this going. Nobody had to tell me to do that. It is a natural response to the goodness of God. And guys, that's what you need to do. You need to step out in faith and begin to ask God for things and trust God for things. Watch God do miracles in your life. And then when God does those miracles, you're going to become a praiser, not by choice. You don't have a choice. It just happens. It's spontaneous. I leave us with this tonight, guys. Have you recognized God working in your life? If you haven't recognized it, let me just say this. First of all, He is working, whether you recognize it or not. So there are times that we don't feel like praising, but what should we still do? Praise Him. Thank Him. Sing to Him, whether you feel like it or not. You know, it's like you're married. You know, I guarantee you, Tracy doesn't always feel like loving me. I guarantee you that. I mean, there's times she probably feels like, you know, killing me, right? But she does it anyway. She does it anyway. Why? Because she knows it's the right thing. Well, there's times, you know what, that I'm sure that God doesn't, you know, God loves us no matter what. But there's times we do stuff that He has to go, you know, I would think in my mind, what's love worthy about that? But He does it anyway, doesn't He? When we love Him, guys, we choose to love Him. Again, conversation I was having yesterday, that same person, we talked about several different things, but I said, you know, when we're married to the Lord, He takes vows with us, we take vows with Him. What do you think all the vows of the marriage, all that picture is about? And when we take vows to our wife, we're basically, the Bible says in Ephesians, we're a picture to the world of our relationship to Christ. What are we saying that? For better or for worse? For richer or for? How many of us, when it's not better and it's not richer, we say, you know what, this isn't working. I think it's time to get a divorce. I'm moving on. It was okay when it was richer. It was okay when it was better. But I don't like this poorer and this, you know, worse stuff. And so I don't think, you know, this kind of thing or whatever. Guys, how would you like, what if God did that with us? What if God said, well, you did good for a while, Mark, but, you know, I've been seeing what you've been doing. I just think I'm going to end this thing. What? You're going to leave me, Lord? Yeah, I think I'm just going to leave. It just doesn't feel the same. Aren't you glad He's not like us? That's the first thing. The last thing is, guys, step out in faith so you can see God do things, and the praise will be spontaneous. Not because you have to. You know, tonight the worship set before Him was sweet, wasn't it? And it wasn't because the feeling I had, and I know we don't base it on feelings, but feelings are a part of our relationship with God, aren't they? Feelings are okay. God gives them to us. The feeling I had was, I'm worshiping You, Lord, and all of us in this room are worshiping You because You're good, not because we have to. Nobody's forcing us to worship. Nobody's working us up in a frenzy and making us worship. We're just responding to our God. He's good. And we're lifting up His name. Respond to Him. Love Him. Step out. Watch Him work and then respond to Him. And guys, you're going to find that your praise is going to be spontaneous and it's going to be sweet and it's going to be good. I love it. God has given us, the Bible says, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Ever felt heavy? Here's the answer, guys. Here's your spiritual prescription. Praise the Lord.
The Old Testament book of Exodus might sound like a far-fetched plotline for a movie with lots of CGI, but the truth is, the accounts in Exodus actually happened, and there were startling results for the Israelites, as well as for the people of Egypt. God proved His sovereignty, reigning over weather, an entire nation's economy, and most importantly, the hearts of people. There was much loss and devastation that occurred due to consequences that God handed out in Egypt. But through this, He showed His might, power, and ability to bring His people who were imprisoned to a state of freedom. Now that's a plot line to get behind, seeing God bring about redemption on a grand scale. If you're wrestling with anything you've heard today about God or His ways, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about anything that feels unsettling. You can fill out a question or comment form at thewaymedia.net. Under the Come to the Table link, you can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come join us at Calvary Knoxville. Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share from this book next time, so make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.